I would like to speak about the Jewish understanding of God. When Abraham, our forefather, was in Ur Kasdim in Hebrew, now it's called Iraq. It's in the era of Babylonia. There was a time when people had left their faith in one creator. They had so many gods, so many different worshipping idols. And Abraham's father was an idol worshipper, and he had a shop. According to Jewish history, he had a shop selling idols. And Abraham was a child, and he started to look at the stars and the sun, and he said, something has to be behind. There has to be a creator of everything. And I don't believe these gods of stone and wood are the creator. There has to be something that is not material, matter. There has to be a creator, somebody who made everything. And he got the revelation about the Creator. And he took, one day his father was not in the shop where all the idols were, and he was in the shop. And he took a hammer. I don't know if you heard about that history. Somebody, you already know, maybe some did not. Everybody knows about the history of the this?
No, I don't.
Okay. He took a hammer. This is a legend. It's not written in the old books, but we have a history about what could have happened. I'm not sure it was 100% like that, but let's say that it was that. He took a hammer and he destroyed all the gods. Pa, 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 pa. And he left one big god, the biggest one. And he put the hammer right there. And his father came in. Whoa, what happened? Oh, what did you do? I didn't do that. It was him. And the father said, oh, no, it's impossible that he could do that. Yeah, how could you believe that he is a god if he could not do that? So Abraham got a revelation about the origin of everything. And he is called in our history the first Jew, the first monotheistic believer. Of course, Noah and Adam, the first man, they knew God, but after Noah, until Abraham, there was a time of, let's say, apostasy. I think that's the right word. And people lost their faith in the true creator. The one who is outside creation. This is the point. You have a creator, and you have creation. And when you read the first verse in the Bible, if somebody knows Hebrew, he can say that in the first verse of the Bible, it's written, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. Seven words. In the beginning, God created heavens and earth. I don't know how many times you read that. How many times did you read that? I don't know.
So many times.
But how many times did you read it in Hebrew?
No.
You need to study a little. It's good to study Hebrew. Mm-hmm. If you study Hebrew, you will get an understanding of much more things that you don't find when you read translations. If the first word in the Bible says, in the beginning, in Hebrew is bereshit, the be, I should have something to write, but okay. The first letter of the Bible, it's the second letter of the alphabet. It's okay. That's okay. You have aleph, bet. A, B. It's very close to the English. The B is the first letter of the Bible. In Hebrew. In the original. Be, reshit. In. The B means in. And it looks like a hand like this. It has three walls and one opening. And it start, you read Hebrew from right to left. And the B, or the Bet in Hebrew, it's like this. It has the opening to the left. Okay? So when you start to look at the Hebrew, I will show the, I can show you the letter right here. I have to realize that we are in modern times now. So many things we have. I don't know if you can see it, but you have to see the first letter in the, you can just pass it over. The first letter after Genesis 1:1, you can see the bet. It's like a house with one opening. And the letter bet, it means house in Hebrew. So when you have the creation, the Hebrew speaks about like a house. God starts everything from that letter. Oh, that's good. I will write it right here. This is the Hebrew letter bet. Okay? So, when you read from right to left, you have an opening to the left, but nothing to the right. And when you read Bereshit, Bereshit, Bara Elohim et Hashamayim et Haaretz, it starts here. But you cannot go back. There is a stop. You go into the letter, it's like a dead end. And God wanted to show us with this that when He created the world, something happened here in the beginning. You can come, you can go this way, but not the other way. Something started here. What started here? I will tell you. This is the letter, and it's the same as you see here.
Okay.
This is the first letter of the Bible. And it's very interesting and important that it's the second letter of the Bible, of the alphabet. God did not start with the first letter of the alphabet. And His name, one of His names is Elohim in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. And that name has the first letter Aleph. And it's the first letter of the alphabet. Hebrew alphabet. So why didn't He start with Himself? Why didn't He put Himself? God created in the beginning the heavens and earth and the earth. But he started with something else. It teaches us that we should not start with ourselves. Okay. And the second thing is that He wanted to use the letter Bet to create this world. Because in this world everything is double. We have two eyes, mm-hmm. two ears, two feet, two legs, man and one woman, day and night. Sea and
land,
Jews and non-Jews. Everything is two. We have two sides inside of us. We have one side that likes the bad things and one side that likes the good things. And we have to choose every day. We are double. In this creation, everything is bit. Everything is double. But outside the creation, there is not like that. God is one. He's not two, not three. He's only one. And He created everything, even time and space. So when we try to go back and understand how was the world before the creation, there is a stop in our minds. It's not easy to understand it. We are limited. We are limited to time and space. So it's very easy for us to put God inside of time and space. I will continue with these things because we need to learn about which God we are serving. That is very, very important, that He is outside of the creation. He created the time. He created time. What does that mean for you and me? Very many, many things. God is not inside of the time. He's outside of time. There is no past for Him. There is no present.
Present.
And there is no future for Him. There is no future for Him. He is not looking into future. He is in the future. He is not looking at the past. He is in the past. And there is no space for God. And that's very important. He created space. He created the room. He created what we call forms and limitations of... I can see your body sitting there in the chair. And there is a limitation between my body and your body. This is my body and this is your body. Even if our spirits, we can touch each other. We can touch each other without being touching the physical body. And even in the spirit, there is some space. There is a room also for the angels that don't have any physical body. So there are many worlds created by God. And all the worlds are inside of time and space some way or another. Because the time we have here is not the time that there are in different heavens. And the space we have here is not the same as the space, but there are everything that is created has some kind of limitation. But God does not have any limitation. What does that mean for us? That means we cannot make an image of God. He has no head. He has no arms. He has no legs. He has no body. So if we make in our minds that God is like a man with heads and body, we have made an idol. Maybe we are idol worshippers. Woo! How shall we think about God when we pray to Him then? Think about light. No problem. Light has no form, right? Just light. That's the best thing, I think, to think about Him. So don't make an image of God in your mind when you pray. There is a very strong warning in the Bible. Say, be very careful. When I spoke to you on the mountain, you did not see any image of me. You just heard the voice. So you shall not do any image of me. I'm not an image. You cannot make a form of me. Because form is part of the creation. And He is not the creation. He is the creator. He is outside of the creation. And now our minds have a little difficulties to understand God. And that's the point. We need to have such a big God, if we can speak about big or small, because big and small is part of space. But somehow we have to use our words to explain who He is. If we want to worship Him, we need to have such an understanding that He is much bigger or much different, much more different than everything we can understand and see and experience. This is the Jewish way of thinking of God. God cannot move from one place to another. He's only one. Not two, not three. Because if He's unlimited, everybody believes here that God is unlimited. Yes. He has no limit, right? No limit.
Yes.
Okay, if there is no limit, he can only be one. Why? Because if there would be two, there would be a limit between one another. So if he's not limited, he has to be only one. That's what we say when we pray several times a day. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. 3 times a day at least we pray that prayer. So, because we don't believe that he is a part of anything limited. So he has to be only one. What about Satan then? Jewish thinking, we believe that God has all the power in heaven and on earth. And there is nothing that happens inside of the creation that can affect him. Okay, let's do like this. Let's say that we are looking at a movie. There is a TV screen there. Look at that TV screen. Let's say there is a movie there, right? Now we'll put a movie. What is happening in the movie? Well, everything that happens in the movie, somebody decided what it should happen there, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody wrote the movie. Mm-hmm. There is a movie...
Director?
The movie writer. He put everything what would be in the movie. There should be a good guy and a bad guy, right? And there should be a story, some very things that should be different, maybe some cars crashing or whatever. Everything that happens in the movie is decided beforehand.
Yes.
And everything that happens in the movie cannot affect the movie maker. Are you with me?
Yes.
The creation is the start of time and of space and of history. Everything that happens in history has already been decided by the Creator. And he is not inside the movie. He's outside.
Excuse me, sir. Isn't it like history? Isn't that like a subject, like in school, history?
Okay, yeah, in school you study history, the subject of history.
Yeah.
So let's say now, the movie maker wants to represent himself inside of the movie. So he makes a good guy in the movie. The good guy is the hero. There is a bad guy and he's doing bad things and the good guy comes and he wins the victory over the bad guy and things like that. And everybody happy. Good movie. Mm-hmm. The good guy is representing the movie maker. He can make a person inside of the movie that is just like him in a small scale. That's the way God created the world. Inside of the world, he put many things that are reflecting who he is. But it's not him. It's inside of time and space. But he is not inside. He can act inside of the movie. Okay, he can change things. Everything he wants to fix, he can do it. He's the boss, but it's not him. If we have this image of a movie maker and the movie, we are part of the movie. Satan is part of the movie. Satan cannot do anything whatsoever against my creator that is in heaven. No, my creator is outside of heaven. Let's look at that. In the beginning, God created what?
Heaven.
So he created heaven. How do we pray then for our Father who is in heaven? In heaven, what's that? Where is he? Yes, okay, he's also inside the movie, but it's not him. He comes into the movie, but he decided to write as if he was in the movie, but it's not him, it's just a little small part of him.
Yes.
Did you get that? So when we read about Elohim creating the world, the name Elohim is a reduction. When we say God, there is something bigger outside.
Yes.
He's just revealing himself as God. And he can reveal himself as a father, but to be able to be a father, you have to have a son or a daughter. So when we pray, our Father who is, you art, that's beautiful. That's old King James Version. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So you are in heaven, Father. Did you read? I will be a little nasty to you. Don't be angry with me. Did you read anywhere in the Bible that the Father is the creator? Do we have any pastor here?
Yes.
Okay, you read your Bible every day, I believe. Everybody reads the Bible.
Yes.
So you studied the Bible. I went through the Bible and I said, where is it written that the Father is the creator? And I didn't find any scripture. There is one that could be, maybe, referring to the Father as the creator. But it said that God is the creator. Elohim, not Abba or Av. When he presents himself as the creator, he does not present himself as the Father. You know what? Every name is a title. This is a tourist guide. You're a tourist guide right now?
Yes.
But when you're not, when you don't have any tourist group, you're a papa.
Sion.
You're Sion. You're a husband. You're a father, you're a tourist guide, you are
a brother,
everything is a title, depending on others around him. The same way, the unlimited God, the creator, limits himself to show one side of his actions in this world. So the word Elohim reveals his power to create and to judge and to rule. There is another word, another name that he presents himself with in chapter 2 of Genesis is the name Adonai. We say that word when we read Hebrew. In Hebrew, there is a name very close to the name you have in Ghana for God. But we in Israel, we don't pronounce his name. We write it with four letters. Yud, He, Vav, He. We don't pronounce his name. So we say the other name that I said to you. But that name reveals his mercy. So we have two parts. His strength, his righteousness, his judging, his rulership, his kingship. And then we have his mercy, his love, his redemption, his forgiveness. When he revealed himself with the name of, we say that name Hashem means the name Hashem. In Hebrew, Hashem means the name. When Hashem reveals himself to Moshe, Moses, on the mountain, he said, I will proclaim my name before you. And you will be able to see my back, not my face. That is not, that inside of the movie, that's not God. That's a small representation of the unlimited inside of the movie. That's not the movie maker. It's only a small part. He shows himself to Moses. If that would be the movie maker, all the earth would explode.
Yes.
Not only the mountain where Moses was. Is it too cold here?
Yes.
I see on you because I'm moving here, but you are still sitting still. I am the movie. Okay, I have put a little higher temperature. I'm sorry. Let's put 22, that's okay. 23. Okay, so where are we? When he reveals himself on the mountain, he says, Hashem, Hashem, a merciful God. And I don't remember in English, in Hebrew, we have 13 attributes of his grace and mercy and forgiveness. So we have two parts of God, but he's one. How can he reveal himself in two different ways? That those are only small parts of his revelation in the movie of somebody outside that is unlimited. In Hebrew we call it Ein Sof, unlimited, without limit. Elohim is a limited revelation. Hashem is another limited revelation. If you say Father, that is a limitation. Because only those who have sons or daughters are fathers. So before he created sons, he was not a father. So Father is not the creator. He created angels. And as we said, the letter Bet, it means two. In this world, everything is double. From the world that he created, everything is one. And when we come down, everything becomes two. This is like a triangle. Up there is one, and down there are two. This is the creation. The more low we come in the material world, it's double. When we go up, everything finally will go into God's perfect will. Everything that he has created has a purpose. Even the evil. There is nothing that exists by itself. Did you get that? Everything that exists has an origin. And nobody can create besides the Creator. There is only one who creates everything. That means that Satan is a servant of God. God doesn't have any problem with him. Do you have problem with Satan?
No.
Good. Are you? Show me how to do that. You know my worst enemy? Where is it? Inside of me. There is something inside of me that doesn't want to obey God. Yeah. That's my Satan. I have problem with that. I have problem with that. And there is a Satan outside who wants to give some food and nutrition to that part of my body and my soul, and so it will be strong. So just be careful. But for God, there is no problem. God is using Satan to fulfill his purposes. There is no fight between God and Satan in heavens. That's a very small God. Everything has to serve his purposes. Everything has to fulfill his will. There is nothing that he is not ruling over that. He wrote the movie. Let's see some scriptures. Let's see Psalm 113, verse 4 to 6. If you have a Bible, Psalm 113. I will read the modern King James Version. It says, verse 4, and I will not pronounce that name. I will say Hashem, or the Eternal. The Eternal, or Hashem, is high above all nations. Are you with me? And His glory above the heavens. Above the heavens. So is God in heaven or is He outside heaven?
Outside.
He created heaven. Who is like Hashem, our God, who dwells on high, who humbles Himself to behold the things in the heavens and in the earth? He humbles Himself. He bows down, as if we shall can speak that way, to look into heavens. He is outside heavens. Of course, He is also inside of the movie in a smaller scale. But that's not Him. Be very careful not to worship things that are like Him in this creation. Even if they reveal Himself very much. But they are not the Creator. He looks down into heavens and on in the earth. And there is another Psalm 108. Let's go back a few chapters. Verse 4. For your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. When King Solomon built a temple, he prayed a prayer in 1 King chapter 8, verse 27. And he says, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? He made the temple. You were on the temple area. You saw the area where the temple was. The two temples were. Yesterday we had a mourning day. We were crying because of the destruction of the two temples. It was on the same day that both temples were destroyed. And that's why we fasted yesterday. But when King Solomon built the first temple, he prayed this prayer. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? He built a temple for the name of the Creator. How is it possible? How can He be on earth? He has a revelation of the Creator. Behold, the heavens and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this house which I have built. What was the point of building Him a house then?
To make movies.
To show something about Him. In the temple you could feel the presence of God. But it's only a limited present. Everything we can feel of Him is a limited feeling. Because before He created everything, everything was full up with Him. He was everything. He was perfect. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need our worship. The Creator does not need my worship. He has no needs. We need to eat, we need to sleep, we need to work, we need to love. We need to be loved, but He has no needs. He doesn't need everything, anything. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need my worship. He's not being bigger when I worship Him. He's the same all the time. I need to worship Him, not He. He's not happy when I'm worshiping. I become happy. But He can show me that what I am doing is correct. And then He will show me His presence. He will show me His glory. He will manifest in this creation, in this movie, something of the eternal existence, reality that we need to connect with Him. And we have a way to connect with Him. We can connect with the eternal Creator through His names. through his revelation. There is a Psalm 84, verse 11. Father, I ask you to touch our spirits, to show us the secrets of your word. For us to understand who you are.
Sorry, what quotation? 84:11.
Psalm 84. Yes, Psalm 84:11. For Hashem, or the eternal God, is sun and shield. I will just take those words. Of course, he is not the sun. He created the sun to give light on the earth. The sun is one of millions of stars in the universe. And you know that the sun is so huge that we cannot imagine how big it is. And the distance between the sun and the earth is very, very, very long. Now we can look up at the sky and we see a ball there with fire. That sun is like a ball, around. The light that is coming from the sun to the earth takes 8 minutes to travel from the sun to the earth. The speed of the light is 300,000 kilometers per second. When I came here with the bus, I made about 100 kilometers per hour. The speed, if I turn off the light here, at the very moment when I press the button, you can see the light coming from the lamp. But in reality, the light needs a little time to travel from that point to your eyes, so you can see the light. That's a very short time. Because the light travels with 300,000 kilometers per second. That's a very big speed. Now, in 1 second, the light will travel from here 300,000 kilometers in 1 second. Now, if the sun would be turned off right now, how much time would it take for us to see that the sun went black? 8 minutes. 8 minutes for the light to travel from the sun to the earth. 8 minutes. That's a huge distance. The sun is quite a long way from here. And now in the space research that NASA and other astronomers make, they have distance of light years. That's the distance that the light, if we send we start a laser here. The light starts to go out. It travels 300,000 kilometers per second. And now we will go 1 year. How long is that? That's a year. That's a light year. A light year is a distance. And the stars that we have around us, that we are looking at, are light years from us. So, and we speak about hundreds and thousands of light years of distance from us to the stars. And everything is inside of the creation. It's a huge creation we have. Now, it says here that God is sun and shield. Of course, he's not sun. But the sun in the movie represents something of the movie maker. He wants to show us something about himself when we look at the sun. What do we receive from the sun? We receive heat. We receive light. And from that, the world can reproduce fruits and everything. The vegetables need light and heat. Sorry?
For the body.
And the body needs vitamins, everything we need. Our eyes need light to be able to see and to move in this world. So the sun is revealing something about the Creator, but it's not the Creator. But it says here that God is sun and shield. Let's say that the sun would be very close to the earth. You heard this before, right? Let's put the sun 100 meters from here. What would happen? We would all burn.
Yes, yes.
On the face of the sun, on the surface of the sun, there is 6,000 degrees Celsius. We have 22 right now here inside here. You just put it 6,000, then see what happens. That's the surface of the sun. Inside of the sun, there are 15 million degrees Celsius. Such a heat that it would destroy everything on Earth if the sun would come to us. But let's say that we take off the heat and leave the light. And then we have the light just 100 meters from here. And then it says sun and shield is the Creator. He's sun and shield. So it's not only the sun, but he's also a shield. He's protecting us from the light and from the strong heat. If we would be close to him, we would be destroyed immediately. Nobody can see my face and live. So there is a limitation. He puts a shield for us not to be destroyed in his presence. How many wants to feel his presence? Yes, but not too much. There has to be a limitation. If it's only him, then we will be eliminated, everybody. We will be burned. So he's sun and shield. What happens with the shield? Let's say that we have this roof. Let's say we would have the sun just outside of this roof. We don't see any light right now coming through because we have the roof here, the ceiling. If we would open the ceiling with an opening here, what would happen? The light would come in with a strong force, and if the sun would be 100 meters from here, it would be such a light in this room, even with a small hole, enough for us to see each other. So when we are now wanting to have a relationship and revelation about our Creator, these things are needed. On one side, he is so great, so big, so marvelous, so wonderful, but he has to limit his revelation for us. But he has to open up the shield so we can see something of his light. So, let's say God cannot move because he is not inside of space. But he can move the holes in the shield from one place to another. So it looks like the sun is moving. But what is moving is the holes in the roof. That was what happened on the mountain when Moses saw God move from one point to another. It was not God, just the revelation of God, just the light coming down. But what was moving was not God. What was moving, the thing that was moving, was his revelation in a limited way of himself before Moses on the mountain. I hope you get these things. Because we need to be delivered from all kind of false worshipping. We need to worship only the Creator, not the creation. And everything that is in space and time is part of the creation. Is created. There was a man here 2,000 years ago. He said, "The one who saw me saw the Father." this mirror. Look at the mirror. Can you see yourself there?
Yes. Yeah.
Can you see me?
Yes.
Yeah. Look at the mirror. Is that me?
Yes.
No! I'm here! You see the image of me in the mirror. Is Yeshua God? You can see the image.
Yes.
He's the mirror.
Yes.
It's written in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 that he is the reflection of his glory.
Hebrews 1, the two first verses.
God spoke through the prophets. Now he is speaking through his son. And the son is the reflection of his glory. The essence of his glory is reflected in him, but he's not him. He's only the mirror.
Rabbi, when you say Yeshua, that's Jesus.
Yeshua is his Hebrew name. Jesus is an English form of the Hebrew name Yeshua. But nobody called him Jesus when he was here. His name is Yeshua.
So it's better to take that name, to use that name Jesus. Because, like my country in Ghana, it becomes a little bit, some people are arguing for that Jesus is not the name Yeshua. It's not the right one we are worshiping. So people are beginning to argue in social media. So now we are in Israel and now we are in front of the rabbi. Who is the savior, the one he came and died for us? Who is the original name?
First of all, the Creator is our Savior.
Yeah.
And He used a man to save us.
Yeah.
It says, God was in Yeshua, reconciling the world with Himself. So, Yeshua is not God. God was in Him. It's like the tabernacle. It's like the temple. God's glory was there, but it's not all God. Nobody would be able... Impossible. So, God is the Savior. And He used a man to die for Israel and the world's sin. And through His sacrifice, God forgives the sins of those who repent. In that case, in that way, Yeshua is also a Savior. But God is using Him to save. He is the instrument of God. You cannot disconnect. It's like the ambassador speaks in the name of the government. So
I think it's getting a bit difficult here. You said God is God is using a man.
Yes.
So, but with a Christian background, we understand that Yeshua came as God, man, God on earth.
Yes, I know. I know the Christian theology.
Yeah, so what is the, how do you reconcile what you're saying
now? I left that theology when I saw it's not, I don't find it in the scriptures.
So like when he said he created us in his own image.
Yes.
Yeah, you mentioned that. See, I've come from a Christian background and I've always believed that if I was in his own image, I was created as his own image, then God could be a million size, my size, but he has to have 2 hands and 2 feet, 2 eyes, everything, just like me. Because that's the image, that's the reflection of me, of God. Am I right?
So, yes and no. Because when you speak about image, then you are saying there is a space.
Right.
And space is part of creation.
So, yeah. Okay.
So what was the image? The rabbis teach that when it speaks about, there are two different opinions about, among the rabbis,
right,
to explain what happened in the creation. It's not easy. First of all, one opinion says that God created an image first, and with that image, he created man in the image of this image. The other explanation is more philosophic. It says that it's not speaking about image in a physical form. It speaks about values. justice, love, self-consciousness, things like that. And I believe both are true. Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul, says that everything was created through him and to him. That means that, and it's also written in Romans 4:17, that Adam was an image of the one who would come. So there was an image before. In Hebrew theology, we call it Adam HaKadmon. That's the original man. That's the first world that God, the invisible God, created. And through that world, he created all the rest of the worlds. And I believe that that world is the Messiah. But that's the face of the invisible in the created world. He is the face of God for us. God has no face. So we were created in the image of the Messiah that would come. And that's also the purpose of his work in our lives, that we would be made like the image of his Son. It's in Romans 8, right? So you have, these are difficult things. Very difficult. Very deep. The problem is that when you have a God that can die, it's not a God, because death is part of the creation.
Oh my
God. God created death. God cannot die. God cannot raise up from the dead. God cannot walk. He cannot be hungry. God is outside creation. But God can show himself inside of the movie, in a person, in a limited way. God is the Savior. And he is using Yeshua to save the world.
Just like Moses. He revealed himself to Moses.
Yeshua cannot do anything by himself. He said, I cannot even say anything by myself. Everything I say is the Father speaking. I cannot do anything myself. So God was in him speaking. But he himself was a man like you and me before we sinned, as Adam before he sinned. Now we are not like him. But we will be. So he said, I am the way. I wanted to go to Jerusalem. I didn't look at the way. What a nice way. I will stay on the way. You will never get to Jerusalem. You have to use the way to get somewhere. Who is the door? The one you go through to get to somebody else. The mirror shows somebody. But you cannot worship the mirror. You have to worship God, the Creator. Yeshua is a man. It says there is only one God and one mediator between God and man. A man, Yeshua the Messiah. God sent him to the world.
From where?
From the
outside
the creation that's called Adam HaKadmon, the original man.
Yes.
The purpose, the plan that God had from the beginning.
Okay.
And he gave that spirit, let's say that, a human body. And he was limited. And then he was like Adam before he sinned. And let me go back to John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Beginning means time. The Word is the connection between the creation and the Creator. The Word was Elohim. And it says, in the beginning Elohim created the heavens and earth. So, the Word was Elohim. The Word was designed to be the ruler of this creation. But it was in the beginning. Before the beginning, what was? You have this problem. You are speaking from inside the creation. What was before? Because in the beginning was the Word. Okay, the beginning, but what was before? The word was Elohim in the beginning of the time, okay. But what was before? So our mind are not, it's not easy. I think God is one, not three. I believe Yeshua was created the same way as Adam. What happened with Adam? God took dust from earth, he put his spirit, and he was a perfect man, right? So God had to create a new man, the last Adam. He took earth, breath, new man was created. What happened inside of Miriam was the same thing as happened in the paradise with Adam. What came out was exactly the same copy. Adam, the last Adam, Adam. So he was exactly like Adam before he sinned. That's what I believe. Why did God do like this? Because now there is a representative for all humanity, like the first Adam brought everybody to sin. Now there was a last Adam. He had the opportunity to take all mankind and to stand before a tree. Adam was brought before a tree, the tree of natural life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he had to choose not to obey God or obey God. What did he do? He disobeyed God. He took from the tree. He sinned with the tree. Now there was this the second chance to restore what the first Adam did wrong. There was a tree. In Hebrew, there is no difference between tree and wood. It's the same word. So if you have a tree or a wood, it doesn't matter. It's the same material. He was before a wood or a tree, and he said, if it's possible, take away this cup from me, but not my will, but your will. And there he did the opposite as the first Adam did. And by his obedience, he could take our sin. God put our sin in his body. He died instead of us. And when he rose as a representative of all humanity, and he corrected what Adam did wrong. He was not God. He was a man. And that's what the Bible tells us.
You are my son.
Yes.
He said, God, I have never said anything to anybody. When he really continued, even Moses, he said, I have never said anything to anybody. But Jesus, he said, you are my Lord, son.
Yes.
He said, you are my son. Today I have become your father.
When was that? When did he say, today you I have become your father? When?
I don't know the time.
When he was resurrected from the death.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
that is written in Acts chapter 13.
Yeah.
God rose him up saying, you are my son, I have begotten you today. Yeah. That's the resurrection. He was God's son before he died.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Because when he was baptized, there came a voice and said, this is my son. My beloved, my only son. Yes. Listen to him. That was a sonship in one level.
That's right.
When he died, he was still God's son. Mm-hmm. When he was risen, he didn't fight the devil in the hell. He was dead.
Jesus.
He had to be in the flames of fire. Mm-hmm. God punished him because I was going there, and he went there for my sake.
Yes.
And I'm free because he was there. He died my death. God cannot die. God punished him instead of me. And I'm so happy for that. And God, he could not come out of that. And he was praying all his life. You see in Hebrew. He was crying that God would take him out of the death, and he was hurt because of his fear of God. And if he would be God, how can he fear God? Yeah, he asked for help him. And God helped him to take him out of death, and God rose him from the death on the third day.
Yes.
So that in that moment he said, you are my son, I have begotten you today. According to Acts 13 verse 33. So after he rose from the dead, he was in another stage of sonship. Nobody is son of God like this. He is now over the angels after the resurrection.
Yes.
before his resurrection, he was a little less than the angels. You can write, yes, you can read the scriptures. After the resurrection, he was over the angels. He was up over every creation. God put him over everything. And that sonship you don't have. I don't have. Only in him we have that sonship. So if we are part of the resurrection, we are also sons of God in this level. So you have different levels of sonship. The angels are called sons of God. Job chapter 1. And they are called Elohim. The judges of Israel are called Elohim in scriptures. Moses is called Elohim. Yeshua is Elohim. But he's not the creator. He is a limited revelation of that one. He's the good man in the movie. He's the good man in the movie. What I'm saying is that he is not the creator. He is part of the creation. He is the firstborn of the creation. He is in the God's mind. He is part of God's plan. The Catholic Church, it says, God is three persons in one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the one who does not think like this will not be saved. That Catholic teaching. The Bible says, the gospel I preach to you is that the Messiah died for our sins according to the scriptures. He rose. He was risen. Not he rose. He was risen on the third day according to the scriptures. And he showed himself for us. That's the gospel I'm preaching to you. If you believe that, you will be saved. Nothing about Trinity. So you have the Catholic gospel and you have the Bible gospel. And many Christians are so afraid of denying the Trinity because they have a spirit, an evil spirit from the Catholic Church telling them, if you deny that Jesus is God, you will go to hell. That is Catholic false teaching, not biblical teaching. You don't have that in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15 is the gospel. This is the gospel I preach to you. Nothing about Trinity. I'm not saying that you will go to hell if you believe in Trinity. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that you don't need to believe in the Trinity to be saved. That's not biblical. The Bible does not preach that gospel. I've read the Bible maybe hundreds of times. I know my Bible in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. I've gone through these texts hundreds of times. And I have to be honest with myself and say, what the Bible teaches, I have to go there. And what the Christian tradition from the Catholic Church that said no to the Jewish people, what they say, I have to be very careful. And I know these are tensions and you are afraid because you have been taught that you have to believe this to be, you go to hell if you don't believe that Jesus is God. That is not the Bible teaching. I believe the Bible is the truth, not the Catholic Trinity teaching. The Catholic Church has taken so much power over the Christian world, we have to be very careful. Is the message we preach from the Bible or from man traditions? There are many scriptures that say that he is God. It's okay, but he's not the creator. He's Elohim. And Elohim is not the same as what we think when we say God. In this creation, he is God. For this creation, he is God. He's the ruler. He's the judge. The creator made him to be God here. As he made Moses to be God for Pharaoh. It's written in the Hebrew Bible, I have made you God for Pharaoh. You are God and Aaron is your prophet. Two times. And it's written in Hebrew, Elohim. And when it comes to the word, let us make, there are four or five different explanations of that word, what it means. One of them is the Trinity, but in the Hebrew world, we don't believe that God is more than one. In the Hebrew Bible, it says, let us make. But in the Hebrew explanation, it says, God said to the angels, let us make. Trinity is the belief that God is three persons in one God. I don't believe that. I'm not a Christian. I'm a Jew. You know, there are some texts. I have to say, I'm very sorry. I have to say, there has been manipulations in the scripture. Are you really sure you want me to speak about Matthew 28?
Yes.
Okay, I can explain to you. In Acts of the Apostles, do you have any example there that they baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit? Only in the name of Yeshua. Yeshua is here. His disciples are there. Say, now you have to go everywhere. You have to preach and you have to baptize. And you have to use the words in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And then you have to teach them to do everything I taught you. And they listened to his words. Okay, we'll do that. And then went out and they came to Samaria and they baptized in the name of Yeshua.
Yeah, by implication.
So why didn't they obey their master? Never, ever in any other scriptures, and you need two or three witnesses for everything, it is written that they obeyed Yeshua, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the first problem. We have a problem here. They did not obey him. They did it in the name of Yeshua. Now you can explain that it's like it would be the Trinity. But what you don't see that. That's a way of explaining. Now, there is another, and that's more difficult. There is a webpage that shows that in history, Matthew 28 was manipulated by the Catholic Church. They inserted those words. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's not original. I don't believe that Yeshua said that. Okay. Every time you make a translation, I will not say changes. The Hebrew language is very, very rich. Every word can have 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 different meanings. When you translate a text, the translator has glasses. Some way to understand. First of all, he can understand the Hebrew correctly. If he's a Jew, he will understand the Hebrew. If he's not a Jew, it will be difficult for him to understand the Hebrew. You have to live in the people to be able to understand, because the scripture is written inside of a culture. And if you don't know the culture, you will not understand the text. If you translate the words to English or to Chi. Then you have to choose the words in the new language according to your understanding. So in the translation you have in part of what the Hebrew says and in part of what the translator understands of what the Hebrew says. And then there are some expressions in the Hebrew that you don't have in Chi. So you have to create new words.
Yes.
I get you, brother.
And it's not easy.
Yeah.
So when you are reading a translation, there are some things that are not 100%. It's very good. You will be saved. No problem. You can be saved with any Bible. Even the baddest Bible you can find, God can use that to save you. No problem. If God wants to save you, you have enough in the Bible. Now, if you want to know God, if you want to know, grow spiritually, if you want to be a closer to God, if you want to be more like His Son Yeshua, you need to go to the original. And you need to take away those things that are human and get to this, to the divine sources of the Hebrew scriptures. I believe what you call the Bible, that it is a Protestant Bible with 66 books. Personally, I believe that what you call the Old Testament, we call it Tanakh. The Hebrew scriptures, they have a level of revelation very strong. The first five books are the highest level of revelation. Then we have other books, the prophets, and then we, for example, Song of Songs or Ruth and other books, that they have a less level of revelation. It's not so strong revelation, but it's God's word. It's okay. Then you come to the so-called New Testament books. You have also different levels there. Somewhere, Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul, says, the Lord says, and this is what I'm saying, not the Lord.
That's right. Yes.
You know that? Is that word of God?
Yes
and no. So you have different levels, right? Different levels. So it's not only to say this is the word of God. No Bible you have is the word of God. Why? Because it's a translation of the word of God. You know, I have no. It's not a commentary. It's a translation. If you go to the old scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, I prefer to read in Hebrew because that's the original. Now, we don't have the original of Matthew in Hebrew. The letter to the Hebrews in Hebrew, we don't have it. It got lost in history. Maybe there are somewhere in the Vatican tombs or I don't know. Somewhere they would be, the original. But I believe that the letters that Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to the Corinthians, he didn't write in Hebrew to the Corinthians. They spoke Greek. And he didn't write in Aramaic. That was a very common language in that area, in that time. Greek and Aramaic was like English and French today. So they were very universal languages. So when Paul wrote his letters, I believe he wrote in Greek. He knew Greek also. The word comes out from Israel. It says like that. The problem, and I also met it when I was in Ghana. Two times I was in Ghana. And first people got angry with me. Said, what are you preaching? We are Christians. We always believe this. And we are going to heaven. Good, that's good. I'm not saying that that's bad. But if you want to see the original, and then they said after 3-4 days, but we have been brainwashed. Just what you said now. And they said they were angry with the tradition. Okay, but be happy because God gave you the word of salvation. Don't be sad, but don't stay there as a baby. Please grow up. Learn something more. Be open to see the truth that maybe is a bit bigger than your mind. And don't be afraid. God is bigger than you. You are in His hand and nothing will take you off. And if you, as long as you are true to those 66 books of your Bible, don't go outside. Stay there in scriptures. Even if they are translations, it's better. Don't start to believe that they are false things, and even if there are some manipulations, but it's all so small things. It's not a matter of salvation, or you will not get lost, even if there are some different things there. So just relax. Don't be afraid. You can trust that Yeshua died for you. You believe that, right?
Yes.
You were born again. Somebody say I was born again in 1980. Yes. I was born again in 1967. I was 5 years old. I remember that. Something happened inside of me. I am a child of God. And that is my identification. It's better to be a child of God than to be a Christian going to hell.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's better to be a son of God than to be a Jew going to hell.
Right.
So my identification as Jew or Christian can be deceptive. I have to have a relationship with my Father in heaven. I have to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb so I'm clean before Him. Repent from my sin and get the forgiveness of my sin. Then I'm clean before Him. Even if I don't understand everything. But I tell you, the doctrine of the Trinity does not save anybody. If that would be true, all the Catholics would be saved. John 7:37. If anybody thirsts, 7:37, let him come to me and drink.
Yes.
Listen to this. The one who believes in me according to what the Hebrew scriptures teach about me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You can believe in the Jesus that somebody else is preaching. Somebody else is showing you a false Jesus. There are many false Jesus.
Yes.
You have to believe in him according to the Hebrew scriptures, according to Moses, according to David, according to Solomon, according to Elijah, according to the prophets. What they say about him, you have to believe.
Yes.
If you believe what they say about him, then you will have the flow of the Spirit. You need to know which Jesus you are preaching and believing. You have to believe the Hebrew scriptures picture of him, what they are saying. If you pray to Jesus, you are praying to another God. You are an idol worshipper. That's what Jewish people think about you as Christians. I don't know if you really are aware of this. Jewish people think that Christians are idol worshippers because you are worshipping a man as if he was God.
Yes.
And you pray to Jesus. If you want to be biblical, pray to the Father. If you want to know what Jews generally think about him, I think that would be good for you to know.
Okay.
And that is very difficult. This is a very... I'm suffering so much because of these things. First, when you read in the Gospels, there was a group of Jews rejecting him. And most of them were Sadducees, not the Pharisees. The one who was high priest was Sadducee. Sadducee, the sad one, you know. Sadducee. And there were many Jews receiving him, thousands and thousands, and somebody thinks that up to 1 million, I'm not sure. But at least the 100,000 first believers, they were all Jewish. In Jerusalem, there were 30,000 believers in Yeshua as the Messiah. So when we read Acts, we are reading a Jewish scripture. But the mainstream of the Jewish people rejected him the first time he came. As the prophets had told us, when Moses came the first time, they rejected him. Who put you as a judge over us? He went to Yitro, came back the same time, the second time they received him. Also when the brothers came to Joseph in Egypt, the first time they did not recognize him. The second time he showed him who he was. So we have several scriptures that speak that the first time the Redeemer comes, they will not receive him. And that was the movie writer wanted it to be like this. So most Jewish people rejected him when he came. And that's why the gospel went to the Gentiles. So the non-Jews have to be very happy because of the Jewish people who rejected Yeshua. Joseph was sold to the Egyptians because God wanted to save the Egyptians from hunger. You see the picture? All was written before. So in that time, they hated him. Some Jews, not all. When Christianity was born 100 years later, after 135, when Jerusalem was destroyed, the leaders of the Messianic movement, who were Jewish, they were killed. So only Gentiles survived. Very few Jewish leaders. And the Gentiles did not want to be persecuted by Rome as Jews, because in the beginning Rome did not see any difference between Jewish believers in Yeshua and non-Jewish believers in Yeshua. They were all like Jews, and they were persecuted by the Roman system. But after 135, when Jerusalem was destroyed, there was a separation, a divorce between the Jewish believers in Yeshua and the non-Jewish. And pagan practices, Greek philosophy came into the movement, and Christianity was born. Christianity was not born by Yeshua nor by Paul. It was born after Jerusalem was destroyed in the second century. When that happened, those Christians, many of them came from a Roman background with a very strong anti-Semitism. So you can read 325 AD. There was a big meeting with 318 bishops in Nicaea, and they decided to not be like the Jews. It was the emperor, Constantine. They wrote, we want to have Passover another time. We don't want to have the Shabbat. We want to have another day of rest, the Sunday, because we want to separate from the Jewish people. When the Christian church started to persecute the Jewish people because of their theology, the Jews started to hate Jesus more than before. And you know, the Crusaders, they did it in Jesus' name. The Inquisition in Spain killed thousands of Jews in the name of Jesus Christ. Hitler killed the Jews in the name of Jesus Christ. Luther, he wrote letters and books against the Jews. So there is much hatred among the Christians against the Jewish. So the Jews have been persecuted by the Christians throughout thousands of years. So the Jewish people think that the Jesus you are worshipping is your God, and he's causing us to be persecuted. You are hating us because of your Jesus. That's what the Jewish people think. I'm not saying they are correct, but because of history. These are realities. I say I'm suffering much because of this. We have to go back. The Jewish people believed, and many still believe, that Gentiles cannot be saved. Only the Jewish people can be saved. The only way to be saved is to become Jewish. They thought 2,000 years ago. Today it's different. It's different, not the same. So, some Jews thought that these people, when Peter went to Caesarea and the Spirit fell over Cornelius and his people, they were surprised. How can God give the Spirit to non-Jews? So he cleaned their hearts also, as he did with us. So non-Jews can be saved without becoming Jews. So they were like, wow, non-Jews can be saved without becoming Jews. Good. So they started to preach, you don't need to be Jews to be saved. So these non-Jews received the salvation, received the Spirit, and they did not convert to Judaism. They had some commandments that they have to follow. Not idolatry, not murder, not steal, all these seven commandments. Seven commandments for everybody. No, seven. For everybody. 10 are for Jews. And 613. When the non-Jews received the Spirit, there were some groups among the converts that had been converted to Judaism before. They said, you have to convert to be Jewish, because if you don't, you will not be saved. And then Paul, Peter, John, everybody said, no, that's not true. They receive the Spirit. They don't need to circumcise. God received them, even if they did not convert to be Jewish. So we cannot go against God. That's the message of the New Testament, or the apostolic writings, I call them. the apostolic writings or the messianic writings. Now, because of a small group, the same small group came to Galatians and said to them, you have to circumcise, you have to live like a Jewish lifestyle, you have to be Jewish and do everything that Jews do to be able to be saved. And say, no, that's not for the non-Jews. You can live as non-Jews and be saved, but you cannot worship idols.
Yeah.
You cannot steal.
Yeah.
You cannot commit adultery.
Yes.
You have some rules you have to follow.
Yeah.
And Paul is teaching everywhere these things. You don't need to circumcise as a man to be able to be saved. Those rules are for the Jewish people. We have to be two. But we are both sons of God, sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
In the Messiah. I believe the one who was here, who died, who was risen at the third day, his name is Yeshua, went away, and the same will come back.
Amen.
To the Mount of Olives.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
And we are very close right now.
Amen. Oh, thank you.